Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's message is from the Gospel lesson just read, Matthew chapter 7. On our travels this summer, we have met so many wonderful people. Dear Christians, dear faithful Lutherans who love the Lord and his mission for his church. It was wonderful again to reconnect with those we know and love and have received so much love and support from new friends also. It is a wonderful and great encouragement for us, and we thank you too. One of the people we were able to visit with is an old pastor friend who told us that his elderly mother had moved in with him and that they are now taking care of her. When she lived by herself, there were many unscrupulous scam artists, many so-called charitable funds or good Christians or television evangelists that solicited money from her. Although she did not have much, she was willing to give some to them because she thought they were so nice. They even know her first name. So they must have been good people, she thought. A lonely widow is an easy target for those looking for easy money, including those who call themselves Christian. Have you ever been deceived into buying something you don't really need or give money to a scammer? Well, I guess it's good practice, good advice, to read the fine print before you sign anything. Not that all solicitors practice deception, but we often need to see their words in writing first. Oftentimes, others can deceive us by their words, or even though they might appear reputable. Other times, we deceive ourselves. To believe something that is not true. Because it often sounds so good. It makes us feel so good. Not only do people deceive others in the name of somebody else or themselves, but many deceive others, even themselves, by misusing the name of the Lord. Jesus. Lord, Lord, Jesus says in our text. So those who deceive others in the name of Jesus are from a different confession, a different spirit. Jesus calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. They do sound and act like Christians, but they lead many away from Christ by taking them into a religion that is feelings built or works righteousness built, away from the cross of Christ. This can be true from any spiritual leader in any denomination who retracts from or subverts the glorious work of redemption accomplished only and completely by Christ on the cross for us. Any preacher who draws your attention away from Christ crucified for you and builds that attention on yourself is a wolf in sheep's clothing. But Jesus says their fruit will give them away. But fruit here cannot refer to the good works because it is precisely in which appearances can be so deceiving. In fact, Jesus says, some will even drive out demons in my name. Some will even perform miracles in my name. No, rather than their doctrine must be tested. What is their public confession? And as a Confession Lutheran Church, we do believe, teach, and confess all of Scripture is God's Word, and the Lutheran confessions, as they are contained in the Book of Concord of 1580, are a true exposition of that Word of God. We have a public confession that anybody can read, learn, and study, and know what we believe, teach, and confess. There is no deception with us. So Luther once said, everything depends on doctrine. Where doctrine is right, everything is right. Faith, works, life, suffering, good and evil days, eating and drinking, hungering, thirsting, sleeping, walking, standing, etc. Everything is right. Where doctrine is wrong, everything is in vain. Everything is lost. Everything is utterly condemned. The works, life, suffering, fasting, praying. For life is fathered and fashioned by doctrine, he says. So the sad fact that confronts the church in our time is that far too many people do not understand the Bible's message, the central message of the cross, the grace of Christ, and do not know what the Bible teaches. No one spends any time in the Bible anymore, in church or at home, in devotions or in Bible study. The best way to spot false teachers is, of course, if you know the Bible. You need to watch what is said, but especially what is left unsaid. They would often quote scripture, but out of context, or pieces of phrases out of context. So with Jesus' advice, sample that fruit. Be alert. Be like the Bereans in Acts 17, who examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Because those who do not build on scripture, who do not build on the rock of Christ, are building on sand. In our time, the very young are taught by the popular media, by social media, to build we are to build a life that is solely based on success, on money, on power, on fame, on your looks maybe, and so forth. Our culture teaches us to rely on our own strength. You're only successful or worth something if you have wealth or have intellect or even have connections with the right people. We observe here the pride that the Jews had, the Pharisees in Jesus' time, because of the connection, the family line down from Abraham that they claimed as their father. We live in the most beautiful, fantastic, great country in the world. But sadly, the pursuit of this American dream often leaves little room for any spiritual pursuits for church. Children are brought up knowing that many things. They know many things about sports heroes, about musical entertainers, about cartoon characters, by social media influencers, but they're often deprived of the one thing needful, Jesus Christ, and him crucified for them. Even those who attend church fairly regularly, who often say, "Lord, Lord," may even make an appeal on Judgment Day on their own piety, or on their church attendance, or on the offerings that they bring, or being good citizens, they have a clear criminal record, or the good education, the nice homes, even being descendants of Lutherans. Many in our time especially depend on their sincerity. Be nice. Be kind. Which is good. But if you depend on that for eternal life, it's sad. Whereas one professor once told us the example of Angela Atwood, was one of the hardcore gang members of the Symbionese Liberation Army. Six of them were killed in the 70s in a fiery shootout with law enforcement agents in Los Angeles. At her funeral at St. Paul's Church in Prospect Park, New Jersey, a Roman Catholic priest stated, "Angela Atwood was a dear, honest, sincere girl who, like Christ, died for her beliefs." Did she? Well, Charles Whitman was sincere when he picked off 16 people with his rifle from the University of Texas Observation Tower. He was sincere in his beliefs. So was Shiran Shiran. Adolf Hitler was sincere in his beliefs. Benedict Arnold was sincere in his beliefs when he betrayed the country. And so was Judas when he betrayed his Lord. So can we depend on sincerity of our feelings or our beliefs, even if they are wrong? Absolutely not. Those of the true confession, the Holy Spirit creates faith in our hearts through the means of grace. So we are called to continue in the Word and the sacraments. The Holy Spirit working through these means of grace, that is the Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, that He will lead us to a true and lasting confession of who Christ is and what Christ has done for us. The sacraments proclaim the pure gospel, ridding ourselves of our human works of righteousness and leading us to a complete confidence in Christ's obedience. He fulfilled God's law for us. His suffering, His death, His glorious resurrection as our only foundation of faith and a life lived in response to this gospel. That is our trust. It is the pure word of God and the sacraments that will sustain our lives, even as we just sang, through storms of life, through pain, through illness, through brokenness, through separation and loneliness, yes, even through death itself. By the gifted faith, through these means of grace, we continue in faith in Jesus as our rock. We build on Him. Christ did the will of the Father in heaven. Only he who does the will of the Father, my Father in heaven, Jesus says, will have everlasting life. And He did it for us. He fulfilled all the requirements of the law so that all people have a foundation for standing in judgment day. Because Christ has poured out His blood so that all may stand on the rock of His forgiveness. God the Father has accepted His Son's death as being completely sufficient for you. By Christ's resurrection, your death sentence has been removed. Your sins will stay in the grave, in the tomb of Christ, and He will raise you bodily on the last day. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart to believe that the Father has declared you not guilty, even by the words of your pastor in the confession and absolution, by the very word of God. This certainty leads to a true confession, in word and deed in our lives, and a strong, vibrant faith that can weather any storm life might throw at us. So we're called to continue in this confession. Yes, we too call Lord on the Lord in prayer. Lord, Lord, or as we do every Sunday, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. This is a cry of faith and trust as we consider God's creation. He still takes care of it. It is a cry of humble dependence on the mercy of God as we confess with confidence this mercy revealed in Christ. It is a cry of hope, especially in the midst of suffering and of dying. It is a cry of confidence that Christ will hear us. Lord, Lord, have mercy. It is a cry of prayer. It is the prayer of a person who knows that Christ has overcome Satan on the cross. It is a prayer of praise and adoration as it confidently expresses that what we believe and confess according to the Scriptures. It is Trinitarian, that is, our confidence comes only in the true God and that we can entrust all things to Him. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. It is a cry to the one who can and will offer you life everlasting. It is repeated because Christ is our sole hope in our living and our dying. Christ, have mercy. And that's why we do mission work. that all may have the same confidence, the same confession according to Scripture, to humbly stand before the judgment seat of Christ and trust in Him alone. Because in this life, we together have called, Lord, have mercy in faith. And our church's liturgy speaks this cry precisely because it is the deepest cry of the Christian heart, the deepest expression of Christian faith, by which we will stand eternally in the presence of Christ. Lord, have mercy. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds to faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen.